EZ-40 and EZ-71 had just landed at Camp Taji north of Baghdad to refuel and to drop off and pick up passengers. These two Black Hawk helicopters were moving troops around Baghdad area bases on January 20, 2007. As they took off, EZ-40 had a four-man crew and eight passengers, soldiers with little in common aside from needing a lift to the airport. Within minutes, EZ-40 began to take incoming fire from the ground. U.S. Army Specialist David Carnahan, the crew chief aboard EZ-71, looked back to see a rocket-propelled grenade hit EZ-40's fuel cell, setting it afire. EZ-40 crashed hard. The passenger compartment engulfed in flames. EZ-71 landed immediately, but not fast enough for Carnahan. He jumped from the helicopter 20 feet off the ground, armed with only his pistol and a fire extinguisher. Despite coming under fire himself, he and others rushed to rescue the 12 soldiers from EZ-40. But all 12 had perished. Carnahan and his crew defended the crash site as other helicopters arrived on scene and engaged the enemy forces. The first thing that comes to mind when a helicopter goes down is Black Hawk down and what they did to the bodies. And we weren't going to let that happen, Carnahan said. On that day, he earned the Air Medal for Valor, as did several soldiers, with others earning the Silver Star and the Distinguished Flying Cross. The Army now had the grim, challenging task of identifying 12 sets of remains from the charred wreckage. Forensic specialists mostly succeeded, allowing for individual burials, including two at Arlington. But some of the commingled remains could not be identified. Thus, a group burial of the unidentified remains was necessary. The funeral would occur in Section 60 of Arlington National Cemetery on October 12, 2007. And Charlie Company of the Old Guard, where I had served as a platoon leader since March, would lead the funeral. I knew more about this funeral than usual because three deceased soldiers, Captain Mike Taylor, Sergeant Major Tom Warren, and Sergeant First Class Gary Brown, had belonged to the Arkansas National Guard, as did Carnahan. I had read stories about the crash by an embedded reporter with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I was seasoned in the cemetery by this point, and I was honored when I learned that we would perform the funeral for EZ-40. We approached every funeral with a single standard in mind: perfection. Regardless of whom we laid to rest, we aimed to provide the family and mourners with a final, indelible image of honor for their loved one. They deserved no less, as did our fallen comrade. But this is not to say every funeral was the same. Far from it. In fact, no one at the Old Guard could remember a group burial as large as EZ-40's. We rehearsed the funeral for several days, which itself was unheard of. Although the funeral would follow the normal sequence that we performed several times each day, it also included 12 flag bearers, one for each family. That was my role. We each had a pre-folded flag that we would touch to the casket one by one, and then present to the next family. October 12 dawned cool and crisp, with blue skies and plump clouds rolling over the green fields of Section 60, the famed but heartbreaking eternal home at Arlington of soldiers killed in the War on Terror. Dozens of soldiers in ceremonial blue uniforms milled around Section 60, my fellow flag bearers, escorts, liaisons, and others. 12 sets of chairs, draped in plush green covers, formed a horseshoe around the gravesite. A large media contingent gathered, including a crew from NBC Nightly News, which had followed Charlie that week as we prepared for the funeral. We heard the band in the distance, followed by the universal army cry to get ready. Squared away. As the flag bearers came to attention, the largest funeral procession I would ever see at Arlington came into view. More than 10 limousines, 5 buses, cars stretching back too far to see. Hundreds of mourners gathered around the grave, including the Secretary of the Army, the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, the Director of the National Guard Bureau, and several state National Guard adjutants. Black Hawks flew over. The chaplain delivered the eulogy. Charlie's 7-man firing party delivered the crisp 3-volley salute. The bugler played taps. Then, one by one, the flag bearers touched our flags to the casket and presented them to the families. We marched off as we finished our part and linked up at our buses. Charlie had more funerals to conduct that day, after all. But we shared a sense of pride in the mission we had just accomplished. EZ-40 crashed into Iraq's arid desert, but its heroes now rested in Arlington's tranquil fields.